And so, did you just want me to say dispatches from the underground? Dispatches from the underground.
Dispatches from the underground.
With your host,
Joey Steele. Up to no good. We're good? I don't know.
Question authority.
Dispatches from the underground.
Question everything.
Dispatches from the underground!
All right, everybody, welcome to Dispatches from the Underground. I'm your host, Joey Steele. Thanks for getting down with us. We are coming at you from the underground in New York City. That's where we are. This is what we do. I'm glad you could join us down here. It is still 2020. This year will just not fucking end, despite all of our sadness and complaints. But here we are, still alive, and it creeps forward. But 2021 is on the horizon right in front of us. It's the last month we have to deal with this bullshit year. And so we're ending it with a bang. I brought two dear friends on the episode today. They were willing to make the long trek and past all the COVID mutations that they're seeing in the streets of New York City.
Yeah. I'm dear friend number one.
I'm number two.
Wow, they have names too. This is Al. The Al Ghost Cat. I don't know how you want to go, but you want to go by.
That's fine.
Okay, this is the Al Ghost Cat of Leftover Crack fame. He's Leftover Crack, everybody. And choking victim, not to fucking... but in more important news, he's also in Cop Out, which is an amazing band here in New York City with one of the most...
You're
handsome
also
singers.
In that band,
oh,
I
yeah,
think, right?
I am in that band, yeah. Good point.
It's so weird.
Other people too, but whatever. Al's also in another crazy good band called Trashy. Are you still in Trashy? 2020.
I am still in Trashy. I am still in Trashy. That's as much as I know.
And his lovely, incredible, brilliant partner, Casey, is also here with us.
Hello. Thank you for having me.
What's up?
It's great. Everything's good.
That's a lie. And That's the entirety of this episode is going to be going into just how much of a lie that
is.
Well,
I was just trying. Yeah, exactly. I want to hook everybody. So they're like... Oh, it's good? What's so good for her? And then they listen and it turns out, guess what?
I love the idea of people like scrolling through Apple Podcasts and coming to this podcast and being like, oh, now I'm hooked. She said everything's great. Okay, well, let's listen.
What could be so good?
What could be so good?
Yeah.
Casey just like handed the fucking mic back to Al like, are you fucking kidding me? This guy's already taking a downer right there.
Already. I wonder how many of your neighbors right now are... tweeting about their annoying neighbor that's filming a podcast in their backyard. Filming a podcast. Thank you. I'll be here all night.
We are sitting in a blizzard here in New York City in a backyard in Queens.
You'll hear that joke again later in the podcast.
It is fucking freezing out here. We are literally shivering, but we have to be 6 feet apart and outside, so we're doing the best we can here in New York City. So I want people to know, and they can mark it down in the little fucking COVID books, we are following the CDC regulations. So don't write your senator about us or something like that.
That's Al Ghost Cat. Reach me at
Is
Cop
Casey,
Out Punks.
Casey
at...
Ghost Cat, or are we not?
It's Casey Kerrigan Anderson Smith.
Oh, okay. And here's a social security number, Casey. Needs that,
yeah.
Too.
555-555-5555.
We are going to be talking about some heavy things on this podcast today. We know 2020 has been a horrible year. I feel like maybe more so than other communities in the punk scene. We have just lost so many friends. You know, from lots of sad reasons, and it's been a dark time, and our community, I think, has hurt more than others because our community is so based around live music and so based around getting together, and we don't like live in places together, and like, it's not like a geographic community or like a family-based community, which some others are. So I feel like a lot of people have been in a lot of pain, and our community's been feeling it. So we're going to talk in the first part of the episode today about grief, about loss, about like how we have dealt with it in functional or dysfunctional ways or social media ways, or I don't know, whatever ways we're dealing with it. Here in New York City, we have had a lot of dear friends pass away. And most recently and most significantly for us, our dear, dear friend, Alec Bailey, of Leftover Crack and Choking Victim, someone Al and I have toured with endlessly in the last 10 years, just passed away. And so we're going to talk about him and grief, you know, in the process of dealing with his loss and our loss of him. And hopefully that's functional and helpful for people as well, because, you know, while we are joking a bunch and Casey's going to try to find silver linings within all of our extreme negativity,
flat
that is going to be flushed into this podcast, we do think that there is some important lessons to be learned, and I think there's a lot of things for us all to be sort of dealing with and moving forward to get to a better place for ourselves and our community. So we're going to be talking about that in the first part of the episode. On the second part of the episode, we're going to be talking about our predictions for 2021, the good, the bad, and the leftover crack of whatever is going to be happening in 2021.
Good job.
The rest of the episode is going to be better than that joke, but not by much.
Not by a lot.
Not by a ton. But if you thought that joke, that put a smile on your face and you're in for the right podcast. Continue. Yeah, I mean, 2020 has been so bad, but obviously there has also been good things. So I think we're going to be doing like a mixture of predictions for 2021, but also like what exactly did happen in 2020. I know a lot of podcasts out there are going to be doing like, they're not going to be talking about grief because they're a bunch, they don't fucking get it and they're not dealing with real things and they're just dealing with fucking stupid presidential candidates. That's fine. Deal with presidential candidates, but like we're going to be dealing with real shit here on this podcast. But we're going to be dealing with, you know, they're going to be doing like year end wrap ups. I feel like if you listen to NPR politics podcasts, I'm sure they're going to do a year end wrap up.
If you want to hear facts, go back to NPR, right?
Yeah.
If you want raw emotion, feelings, if you want to feel feelings, you're in the right place.
You definitely go to NPR unless you're feeling, you want to feel sleepy time feelings.
Are you pitching this podcast to somebody who maybe stumbled upon it?
That's what I thought we were doing. That's what you said we were doing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. I got lost. Keep listening.
We have a lot of podcasts out there use very serious scripts, and we do too, obviously, but we also make sure that we don't just get stuck on these like papers. You can hear the papers,
right,
like shuffling the papers.
You have a big paper over there. Also, I don't listen to podcasts. I just want to say that again.
God. All right. So on the second half of the episode, we're going to do a much better year-end wrap and year-to-come 2021 predictions on the second part of the podcast. Plus, we're going to listen to some fucking tunes, and we're going to try to have a good time early on it.
Sorry.
Preemptive.
You say tunes, and all I hear after that is get down.
Okay, we're going to listen to some tunes, but before we do that, we're going to announce that we will play a tune. Casey, why don't you pick a song?
No.
Okay, well then, I guess we would listen to a song at this moment, but we're just going to sit here in fucking awkward silence until Casey decides. No, Al, grab the mic back here. What song do you want to listen to? Let's listen to a tune from Trashy.
Oh, your trash tune? Okay, well, I was going to say we could listen to Drop It. It's a trash song. Friendship. It's about friendship. It's a little bit rude.
Okay. Here's Drop It by Trashy.
Get down.
And it's not vivid, it's a cry for attention. Why do I always have to leave the intervention? And it feels pretty clear to me that you're the cause of my hypertension. We attack the problem. Shit, who's right and who was on to find a space and time to breathe. drop it? Who pick up the ball when I drop it again?
I guess that's actually not What's the way up? To start the segment. We're going to be talking about the passing of our dear friend.
He would like it.
Oh, that's true. He would like us to start off with, yo! Is that already too grim? Did I start off too sad already?
No.
Should I restart this?
Let's make it way sadder.
Too fucking bad, because we don't edit here on Dispatches from the Underground. We give you uncut all the time, like all podcasts should be. What's going on, Al?
Oh, you know, living the dream, living Are the best you? Life. Oh, yeah.
I feel always, like you're lying.
I am lying a little bit, but I have always dreamed of not having a job. So in that way, I'm living in part of my dream. In my dreams, I have more money and am doing more fun stuff. But
are you doing any fun stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Casey, is any of this true that Al's saying?
Yeah, Al's having a great time.
Really? Oh, well, yeah. Come on, Al, what the hell? Tell us how to have a good time then.
He's
new podcast topic.
Yeah. He's been wearing his jammies all day long. His best tie-dyes. He loves tie-dye.
No, he does.
Yeah.
And worst tie-dyes.
Yeah.
Which is great to talk about on an episode where we remember Alec Bailey, because Alec Bailey hated Al's tie-dyes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a lot of opinions on Al's clothes.
He was jealous.
Yeah. He was jealous. I don't know about the tie-dyes, but he was jealous.
I think he was jealous of how fly I looked in colors. He was like, I couldn't wear that plaid. Yeah. Made me look old.
Well, yeah. Also, his face made him look old, so that was tough, too.
Wow.
Is it too soon for fucking jokes at our friend's expense?
Okay. He was jealous of my shorts. I got reprimanded on many occasions.
Yeah, okay.
He loved his own legs.
We can't actually hear you, Casey, when you don't talk into the microphone.
Well, sorry. This is my first podcast. I don't listen to them. I don't know how
they are. Wow. Except for one.
I actually do
fucking
listen
edit
to.
Shit out.
Yeah, get down.
I'm cutting that
I
out.
I do like your podcast. I fast forward through sometimes the music segment because I'm just so interested in what you're saying.
Oh, wow. That's so nice. You're a
but
liar.
But really, no,
really
I
nice.
Did.
Most people do the opposite, so that's interesting that you do that.
Yeah. Well, I think you have a lot of valuable things to share. But I will say that I really liked the episode when Christine was on, because you guys were like so sweet to one another.
Who, my wife?
Yep.
I
your
don't
wife.
Think so.
Yeah, she was calling you like honey bee.
She calling you just now?
No, I don't think so. We are outside actually in a blizzard right now, so you might hear snowflakes hitting the microphone and wind gusting and so on. But just ignore that and listen to Casey talking about how great I am in this podcast.
Yep.
Go ahead, Casey. I didn't mean to cut you off.
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Casey, how are you doing?
I'm all right. Well, no, I'm not.
Yeah, we could tell the truth here. I'm absolutely miserable. Thanks for asking, guys.
Oh,
but
right.
You're
also here.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, I've just only been around Al for like months that I forget what it's like to interact with other people. But yeah, no, it's
you
bad.
Have not only been around Al, you've also been around Al's parents. You forgot already.
Yeah.
Okay, we're only going to talk about that part. I'm pretty sure Al's dad does not listen to this podcast, though, so don't worry.
Oh. You'd be surprised.
Don't tell him about
yeah.
it.
If we mention him.
Okay. Then let's not do that.
Yeah. Right.
But,
exactly.
So you're good. Things are good.
No, things aren't good. Thank you. I lost my job officially.
I know. I'm sorry.
No, that's fine. But, you know, this year is bad, and that's the theme.
Honestly, I don't know if it could get any worse, but then every time I say that, it gets worse.
Let me tell you. So Casey was officially laid off, but then they offered her to relocate to Miami. Oh. So that would be worse.
Wow. Miami's actually a delightful place, though.
Is it?
I love Miami.
You love the beach in Miami.
I love the beach in Miami, but only that beach. I hate beaches in general, but
I know.
The beach in Miami is delightful.
But Miami is full of people from Florida.
Not really. It's full of people from Cuba, which is interesting enough, which is still equally terrible people, not to be racist. But
whoops. I should say. I should say that.
Floridians are worse than all other people, though, is what I'm really trying to say.
Oh, yeah. Florida's awful.
Miami's like an autonomous zone in Florida.
I've never been to Miami, so I don't know that I would dislike it. But I do hate the sun. and I also hate
well, it's 90% sun.
Yeah, I hate the sun. I hate the beach. I don't like it hot. Hmm. So I just feel like it's probably not the best fit
some
for
like
me.
Hot, but not Casey.
Yeah.
Yeah. Casey's not some. All right. Well, we are terrible. It is bad. I guess all of us in this world are having a horribly hard time, except for Al, which is great that he's here to.
First of all, not all of us in this world. I'm not the only one having an amazing time. All right, just for the record, these are jokes. I'm also having a horrible time before I get added at or whatever happens online.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, don't at me.
People don't do that in this podcast.
People don't even know my name, so don't worry about it.
Al, we said it already.
Yeah.
Al Ghost Cat. That's what are you talking about?
That's most of it.
But for those for people who don't know, we are joking around a bunch because we don't know what else to do in this moment. But obviously, we have, and I know a lot of people out there have lost a lot of dear friends in the relatively recent past. And for people who don't know, Alec Bailey, who was in Leftover Crack and Choking Victim, and Kat Zig of Al and I were also, but most importantly, a band I was in with Al called Kat Zig. No, Alec passed away very recently here in New York City, and it's a huge loss for our community. It's a huge loss for our family and our friends. And we were going to talk about Alec here on the podcast today as like a little tiny dispatches remembrance of our dear friend. And I know a lot of other people out there loved Alec and are thinking about him. So we're going to tell some shitty stories. Really, there are only shitty stories about Alec. So, like, they're like, they go from awesome, inspiring, amazing stories to, oh, fuck, I can't believe we did that stories real quick. So we're going to talk some shit as Alec would have wanted. But also, we're going to talk about grief, too, because we're all, I feel like everybody in the punk scene especially is really grieving. So many people have passed away. Like, I actually was like trying to remember some folks the other day. I'm like, oh my god, they passed away a while ago. I'm like, oh my god, no, they passed away 2 months ago. What the fuck am I talking about? And it's just nonstop. And I think that we don't know how to deal with all this grief anymore because it's just like spun us out of control. I don't know. I'm definitely out of my mind with how to deal with this grief. And on top of being out of my mind, Al, don't look at me like that.
I mean, I just didn't know if you were done with your thought.
Oh, go ahead.
No, I don't have anything to say.
I mean, let's talk about grief on the second part of this because, I guess there's no reason to. I mean, you know, how do people deal with their grief? Like, I know I've lost pretty much everybody, most of my family, tons of friends over time, my parents. Somebody, and I feel like grief is always so petty to me. Like, it's always so selfish. I hate it. Like, I hate the feeling, obviously, of losing someone dear and the fact that they're not on this world anymore. But then also, I feel like grief often just brings out the worst in me. Am I alone in thinking this? Like, I think, oh, like, I'm going to miss this person when I do this and, like, to do that. And I'm like, wait a second. That has nothing to do with them. That's just, like, my selfish, shitty feelings.
But all we are our selfish, shitty feelings. I think that, like, I can like, relate to an aspect of what you're saying. I don't know that I agree with how you're presenting it.
Fair enough. I don't know if I agree with how I'm presenting it.
I do think that, like, oftentimes, to your point, that when people die, and usually when it's sudden, I think that, like, when someone is battling a long illness, I think people have more time to get used to the idea that the person might pass away.
Oh, yeah.
When it's sudden, I think it like sort of spins people out of control and people get, I mean, people are selfish and terrible. So I think people get really wrapped up in their own bullshit. And you know, I know people, I think it's easy to sort of get lost in those feelings because you don't know what to do with them. And I think especially now because, you know, at least in my experience, having lost a bunch of friends, whenever, you know, you get the news, you find a way to be with people and you find a way to like do something. Like you go out, you go to a show, you go to a bar, you just hang out. You can't really do that now. There's no way, you know, there's no catharsis really. Mm. So I think that like complicates. I think also being very online inspires people into a higher degree of selfishness as well.
Oh yeah, that's a good point.
It's all compounding. You know, you do a thing on Facebook or whatever, and you get a certain amount of attention from it. This is not about anyone or this specifically. This is just like for instance.
Yeah.
And like that thing makes you feel good, so you do a similar thing because that attention that you can't get anywhere else. You can't go out and see your friends and like have fun, so you do a different, you get a different kind of attention that makes you feel good. And maybe that's not as productive, but
I think to that point, when you're feeling so bad and you can get that gratification that other people are also you know, feeling bad, and you feel like you have a community, then it feels good again. But I think, you know, unlike you two, I've been fortunate not to have a lot of loss in my life. So everything with Alec felt really new to me and kind of foreign. And I think that I was also struggling with watching so many people around me, grieve Alec, who've had so much more time with him. And I was talking to Al about that. Like, I was feeling pretty bad because I felt like I was being selfish for grieving and mourning somebody when all these other people had so many years with him and so many stories, going to his memorial and listening to people talk. But that doesn't mean that my feelings were any less valid. And I don't, I think what's, I mean, you miss your friend. What's wrong with having a moment to like, or your family or whoever it is that you lost? I don't know. Being selfish doesn't necessarily, I mean, self-care, I think, can be selfish, or taking care of yourself, but.
Yeah, I don't know how to grieve. You know, I feel like it should be getting easier with how often this happens. And I get like super reflective and, like, I feel like I have to change something about my life in order for them to really still be with me, you know, which I think is unproductive sometimes, but especially, I don't know. Well, I'll put that aside. I'm just going to cut that up because I think you guys have an interesting point about online stuff. I think this is especially hard online. You know, Ali talked about this, like, catharsis you have when you get to be with your community and, like, remember people. Is that kind of what you're saying? And also, like, there's this weird, like, grief game. It's not really a game because no one's having fun. I feel like games, usually people have fun.
Not,
but like,
always. I've played games with Al before.
We see other people grieving someone you care about. This isn't even necessarily talking about Alec, but this definitely did happen also with Alec, where, you know, Alec was a public figure. He was a good friend of ours, and he was an extremely complicated human being whom, you know, I think me and a lot of other people, like, simultaneously absolutely loved and also could not fucking stand at times. And you know, you have these complicated feelings when it's someone who you consider like family, you know, like, for someone, sure, you've had so many years with and so many terrible fucking times with, but also so many great times. And so, like, you see other people saying things that you're like, that this person doesn't know that person, and it's annoying that they're saying something that you think is not true. Like, at Alec's memorial, you were downstairs playing, so you didn't get to hear. I talked.
Yeah, you talked about that.
I talked about that, and you know, there are people online keep saying Alec was a sincere person, and at times Alec was a sincere person. Like, he was, you know, we've had some of the most important heart to hearts of my life. I don't know if he was always sincere in those, but he was trying to be sincere in those. And I've, you know, I think he could be the most heartwarming person in the world. But other times I've seen him just like fucking be the most insincere person possible to some people, including me. One time, Al, you and I were talking to him. I don't know where we were. I think we were at a Chokey victim practice, maybe. And we were giving him shit all day because he was making some really terrible decisions about some stuff.
He was good at those.
Yeah.
Classic Alec Bailey.
Alec Bailey was amazing at making bad decisions.
He would ask for advice, too. He'd be like, what should I do? And then you'd be like, you should do A. And he'd be like, so I'll do C. You're like, okay, well.
Wasn't even on the board,
dude. Skipping over. You're like, I chose 17. Like, well.
And I don't know what we were talking about. We were talking about something heavy or in-depth or, you know, deep-ish, I guess. And his eyes were just glazed over. He was, like, wanting a drink and, like, to go to a show or something like he would do. He wanted to do something else.
You're like, I don't care about this anymore.
And he would just, like, we said something, and then Alec turned to me and Al, and he was just chimed in. Like he wasn't even listening to the conversation. He was like, yeah, ideas are important. Ideas are good. Ideas are good.
He said, it's good to have ideas.
It's good to have ideas. Yeah. Alec Bailey.
Apropos of nothing. It's good to have ideas. Like, I think shut the fuck up.
Fucking asshole. I mean, you know, it's good to have ideas. This was his contribution to that conversation. So I love the man. He was deeply sincere and heartfelt, but at times could not be less sincere, like, than saying out of nowhere, hey, you know what? That's really sweet, you guys. Good to have ideas. Hey, let's go to the bar, you fucking downers. Let's go.
Let's get the show on the road.
But it's hard when you see people. I don't know. Is it hard? Like, is grief a comp? Is there a competitive side to grief? Like, why am I annoyed by seeing someone else who just wants to, like, remember this person and the way they interact with them? I'm not, like, posting on their Facebook, like, you didn't fucking know this person. How dare you fucking... I'm not saying that.
That would be wrong.
That would be wrong.
To do that.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. But, you know, it makes you feel, like, a weird way, I guess. Doesn't it, to see these weird remembrances?
Yeah.
This is just more of my petty shit. Look, no. I started this fucking segment saying I was petty. So there's really nothing you could say about me now that I haven't already said about myself.
I mean, I think that people want to feel connected to the moment, that something about that feels good, another form of catharsis. Mm. And I share your annoyance that when you see things that you just know to be patently untrue or, like, a misrepresentation. I think also, like, being difficult and combative, as we both are.
What are you talking about, me or Casey?
Yeah. I'm definitely not talking about Casey.
Oh, I don't think I'm difficult or combative. What the fuck are you talking about?
Yeah. Who could say? Maybe being inside
well,
all
don't
this
include
time.
Me on
this
shit. Like, yeah. Go ahead. Say it about yourself. That's
no,
fine.
No, my bad. Sorry. So, wow. Knowing myself being so difficult and combative and alone in those attributes... I forgot what I was going to say.
See? You're so busy talking, dragging me underground with this fucking bullshit, dude.
Okay.
I think you were saying, you're talking about how people are posting these somewhat untrue things and us being difficult and combative, we see these things.
Yeah, and I think that, like, having the instinct to push back on things that we don't portray, that's not the right word, that we don't experience as being true or representative or accurate, I think, like, the rest of our work is, like, combating those ideas. So it's hard to, like, remove yourself from the headspace of, like, if I see a wrong thing, I should address it. And then you see a wrong thing and it has nothing to do with you. It doesn't matter. It's not like it's not about anything important. Well, it's not that it's not important, but someone else's feelings or their expression of guilt or their, like, wrong memory or whatever they're talking about doesn't affect what I'm up to or my feelings or, like, what I know to be true. And also, like, you know, who knows?
In a grand irony of your point, actually, some ideas are not good.
Some ideas are not good. If only we knew that then, we could have...
We could have actually engaged his point and found some depth in his superficiality at the time. That's a really good point to you know, people are going to grieve in their own different ways, and if they just want to remember people in this one-dimensional way and that makes them feel better, why is that a bad thing?
Well, I'll also... People are complicated, right? Alec Bailey, definitely.
Speak for yourself.
Was, yeah, right?
Fuck, sorry.
Yeah, sorry. So easy. But I think that not everybody gets to see every side of somebody. So, you know, if you didn't have a lot of, or didn't spend a lot of time with Alec, or if you went to shows or you saw him at shows, that's like a very specific version of Alec versus yourself, who you spent tons of time with him on tour, which, you know, from my understanding, tour doesn't always bring out the best in people. So, you know, you might have seen a different side of Alec and got to know him in a different way than somebody else. So it's not that someone's memory or experience of Alec is wrong necessarily. It's just very different. And, you know, I think that you said it too. If he was like family to you, family relationships, I think, are sometimes the most complicated.
Yeah. You could say awful too. That's fine.
Yeah. Also.
I, you know, tour does bring out the worst in me at times and the best, but
you love it though.
I love it. It's really the only life. I don't want to do anything else, honestly. But it did bring out the best in Alec, I think, for the most part. Like, you know, it also brought out the worst, but the worst might be the best for Alec. I don't actually know what's true anymore.
I can't help you with that.
I don't know. You know, I do. Tour definitely does not. But the. I mean, Alec, when he was not on tour, was sad. You know, he was just like waiting to go back on tour and like making money doing other things that he hated doing. But like, he just wanted to go back on tour and have fun with his friends. That's all we wanted to do. And that's all he wanted to do. And like,
He did want to do that a lot, too, when he wasn't on tour.
He was the fucking king of fun, and I did not appreciate that enough.
I think the other thing that makes it hard, too, specifically grieving Alec during a global pandemic, is the fact that, like, Alec loved to get all of his friends together. Like, if he had an opportunity to introduce to a friend, to another friend of his that he thought was going to get along, he was like, let's get this group together.
Yeah.
And let's have tons of cocaine. Yeah. Mostly.
He would be so mad at us saying that. But yeah.
Well, I think that would
What's he
going to
do now?
Yeah.
Nothing. So, sorry, Alec. Too bad.
It's called grief.
Yeah. Yeah. We got to get it out there, bro. Yeah, he did. He loved getting people together. I don't think really enjoyed playing music all that much. He loved listening to music, and he loved being at shows, maybe more than anybody else I know. Like, he would, in New York City, he would be at shows nonstop. He would be at a show almost every single day if he could go to one. He loved going to shows and just hanging out. Al and I are both in Cop Out, and honestly, Alec probably came to more shows than anybody else we know. Maybe other than Casey, actually. Yeah. That he loved all shows. He never looked like he was having fun on stage when he was making music.
No, he was, though.
He was.
He just, I think he was very focused on looking cool. Which is why he didn't like it when I wore shorts.
Oh.
You know?
Was that why he looked like that on stage all the time with his, like, grim face?
I don't know.
Because I would get on stage with y'all, and if people don't know, God, there's too many Al's, I'm getting confused.
Al Torn Up.
Is it Al Torn Up? Al is also in Leftover Crack, or was in Leftover Crack with Alec, who's no longer in Leftover Crack, obviously. But
did you follow that?
Yeah, sorry. The tenses got all confused. I was an English teacher, by the way, so that was grammatically correct. If you try to fucking diagram
it. It was a spoken phrase, no grammar in a spoken.
Yo, that's fucking, get down, dude. But yeah, he looked upset all the time on stage, but then I would get on stage with y'all and then just like do something stupid like, yo, fucking yo, that dumb idiot. And he would like lose his cool. Oh, he was trying to look cool.
Yeah, he's trying to look cool.
What a dick.
He really got there. He worked it out.
Yeah.
He didn't look cool, but he definitely thought he was.
I like that Joey didn't believe it when I just said it, but then had to have his own process.
No, I do believe it. That's why I was verifying it in my head. Yeah. This is a podcast, so a lot of people can't hear our thoughts.
Trust, but verify.
No, but so we have to say them.
Can they hear him other times?
Yeah.
Because that's concerning.
But he was the king of fun. I mean, the motherfucker loved his fun.
Yeah, he sure did.
You have a fun story?
He was a fun story.
I mean, it could be a bad story, too. Casey just said that Al should tell the story about when Alec Bailey was catfished, although I'm sure there were a couple of stories where Alec Bailey got catfished. Al's going to tell this particular story. We're going to get to that in 1 second, but first we're going to listen to a tune. There is a brand new playlist that was just put out by some dear friends on Spotify. It is called The New Punk Rock Frequency, put out by some homies on the West Coast. We're going to listen to a tune on that playlist. I hope people go and check that playlist out. Cop Out's featured on there. Days and Days is featured on there. Our friends in Bridge City Sinners are featured on there. And this tune is also on there. It is called Nightmare. It's by the band Bad Cop, Bad Cop. And it's a fantastic it's a fantastic song. It's a great band. And we talk about them a little bit in the conversation to come. So this is from the new Punk Rock Frequency playlist on Spotify. Please go check it out. Listen to all those crazy good punk bands on there. And here's Bad Cop, Bad Cop. Get down.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh yeah, I'm a nightmare. Sometimes, but I promise I'm working on that too.
Casey said, tell the story when Alec got catfished.
Yeah. So on Casey's birthday, Casey's birthday last year, we, Casey likes to go to Sweet Chick on her birthday. So we went out to Sweet Chick.
What's Sweet Chick?
It's a chicken and waffles place.
Okay.
You don't have to know what it is. Yeah. The listeners will know. The listeners in New York will know what Sweet Chick is.
All those listeners in California would be like, oh, yeah, Sweet Chick, no problem.
But they'll know that if you're familiar with the concept of chicken and waffles,
okay,
and you're familiar with food being good, combine those two ideas.
Okay.
So we go to Sweet Chick. It's like, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter. So we went to the Sweet Chick in Williamsburg, and in case you wanted to visit a cat, she was following on Instagram.
There
was a cat.
Casey wanted to visit a guy she was following on Instagram?
No, a cat.
Oh.
Kitty cat.
Yeah. Okay.
There was a cat that Casey was following on Instagram that was living at a shelter in Williamsburg. So we went to visit it. She wasn't allowed to hold it. We looked at it. It was great. And then we met up with Alec and Aaron.
Short of at someone's house to visit their cat.
Was it a store?
That is upsetting.
Well, no.
I would not have given her the mic if I were you.
Well, I think it's important that I clarify what exactly
this is why we
happening.
Have three mics. Usually I can unplug someone at this point. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. It was a dwarf cat, so it was extra small. And I really wanted to hold it, but it was sleeping. And then I wasn't allowed to hold it. And Aaron and Alec were both with us. This is the important part of the story, really. Who cares about him getting catfished? But Aaron and Alec were with us. And then Aaron went back like 2 weeks later and she was able to hold the kitten.
So, thank you for that. Good. Aaron, our good friend and former tour manager, merch manager of Leftover Crack. Yeah. When I got, you know,
when was Aaron our tour manager?
When I got demoted from merch to tour manager and she took my job, yeah. Which is a higher prestigious job of merch person.
Aaron loves doing merch.
I know,
and she's great at it.
Yeah, she's great.
She's so friendly. Aaron, if you're listening, everyone just loves you. Oh my God. Casey's always talking about you. It's a little uncomfortable. So we went to visit.
You know, Aaron was one of the first guests on this podcast.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Years and years and years. I mean, probably almost 10 years ago. Yeah. If you go back, we called her Christian Aaron at the time.
Christian Aaron?
She hated it, yeah. It's a terrible episode.
I could see her hating that.
I would not go back to listen to that podcast.
Yeah.
It's very bad.
Note
anyway, this one's way better. Go ahead.
Sure. So far, it's the best.
So
we went to visit this cat, and then the person working at the store seemed irritated with us, so then we bought something because we were concerned what they would think about our crew, which in retrospect was probably stupid, but we did it. And then we decided to go to Turkey's Nest, and we were, you know...
A bar here in New York City.
A bar here in New York City that our good friend Bob works at. He wasn't working then. I don't know why I said that. Doesn't matter.
So yeah. Bob's a staple and good friend of Alex, too, and a staple in the New York City punk community.
I'm just name-dropping people that
no
one will know who they are.
Yeah, when they listen. Now, if they don't listen to the podcast, be like, hey, if they don't say anything, like, oh, it's nice to hear.
It's important to know that everyone out there knows that I have at least four friends still. Yeah. I had five.
Yeah.
Now I have four.
Oh, jeez. That was opening, folks, so
yeah.
Applications should be submitted.
No, it's closed. Five was maybe too many. Anyway, so we went to Turkey's Nest. We were having drinks, and Alec was like playing on his phone, being a dumbass. And he's like, look at this woman. Look how hot she is.
Oh, my God.
And were you watching Catfish at this time, or you were just...
I'm always watching Catfish.
But had you begun? You'd begun already.
Catfish is a TV show?
Catfish is a TV show. So the premise of Catfish, for those of you who don't know, if you don't know what Sweet Chick is, you don't know what Catfish is.
Or Instagram cats.
Catfish is not, it's not about the food. So Catfishing was a movie made by MTV in the early aughts where this man was, MTV didn't make it. Turns out I don't know what I'm talking about. But there's this movie called Catfish where this man called something was dating, he thought, a woman online. And was he like, they were going to get married or? So catfishing is when you're dating someone online, but they're not really who they say they are.
Oh, okay.
And they, like, you know, you try to hang out, and they're like, oh, no, I can't hang out. Like, I broke my femur, and then you have to, like, reschedule or whatever. Like, you know, they're like, oh, my car broke down. Then
oh, okay.
My bag caught
fire. It's just, like, fucking lying.
Yeah. And then, so then MTV made a internet lying. It's called friendship. So MTV made a show where they, like, go around, they get celebrities to go around and bust catfishers.
Oh, wow.
And the show is bad. Casey likes it. I guess it has its moments. But mostly it's just like this guy. What's his name? Neve.
Yeah.
Neve. It's mostly just him being, like, rude to sad people in the Midwest. It bums me out. I don't like watching it. Casey likes it.
But Al got catfished?
So he's looking at this woman on his phone. How was she messaging him? Like,
through the, like, dating app chat feature.
Oh, yeah. So was it Tinder or Cupid? I guess it doesn't matter what it was.
It doesn't matter.
Some woman is messaging him, but it's, like, the middle of the day. And
on, like, a Wednesday.
Oh, jeez.
It's, like, clearly a professional, like, headshot that he's looking at.
Oh, my God.
And we're like, that's not real. And he's like, no, I think it's real.
Of course he does.
And we're like, no. I was like, send me that picture. Or I got the picture somehow, and I put it into the Google reverse image search.
Oh, my God.
And
hold on. I think it was that she said she was a travel agent, and they were, like, talking about something. And I was trying to use, in my drunken haze, I was trying to use my knowledge of hospitality to get, like, her to give me the, like, details of her travel agent number and whatnot. Anyway, but I think what ended up happening is you got the photo, and then you also put in the name of her travel agency that she said she worked for.
It's okay if it's not entirely true, guys.
Turns out this story is not that great, but okay. we're gonna finish it because we've gotten this far.
I need to make up something because we're so deep in it. You just have to make up an ending. And be like,
I put the picture into Google reverse image search, and
turns out she was Cthulhu. Actually,
she was Cthulhu,
and it was a weird cult thing that he ended up praying
she
to.
Was she was a model who was very active on her Instagram, and she was putting videos on her story feed function that was showing that she was at a photo shoot while this woman was catfishing Alec.
Oh, jeez.
So then I took Alec's phone away.
Oh, and no. Why'd you do that? Should have let him. Now I'll never know who this person was.
We're trying to help him out. We wanted to find love.
Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Not possible. And we were like, how's the photo shoot going? And then she stopped messaging. See, the story was not great.
Well, it's great in the sense that it does give a good side for people who didn't know Alec Bailey's personal life, that this was a huge, his search for love and his finding love and then exploding it with, like, a pipe bomb was a constant reality in the reality show that was Alec Bailey.
But then we all got tattoos together.
Oh, is that the day of the tattoos?
The end of the story is that on a whim, we went to, what was it, Three Kings?
Yeah.
And we all got pigeon tattoos. And I don't think that Alec was that excited to get a pigeon tattoo with us. He didn't seem to want to, but he acquiesced, and it was his second tattoo ever, and then it was a pigeon.
People will not be able to experience this, but Alec Bailey was very susceptible to peer pressure, extremely susceptible to it. If you just slightly pressured him, he would give in, like, nonstop. And he also thought everybody else would give in to peer pressure constantly.
Yeah.
He was very childish in his application of pressure. For a guy who says ideas are good, he didn't actually think that. He mostly just thought peer pressure was good.
He thought his ideas were good.
He didn't even think that all the time. He was constantly... I think he didn't think he had ideas. I think he thought he was above them. He's floating above ideas.
He had...
Other people had ideas, and he looked down on them, and he's like, oh, those are good, but they're not me, which is reality and awesome.
Yeah.
He was a complicated guy.
I wasn't with you when you started that thought, but you really brought me around at the end.
Yes. The little Alec Bailey peer pressure. Yeah, so, yeah, I just think that, you know, these stories, also, we, like, when people are grieving, at least, especially in this time, because, you know, we can't be with each other, like you were talking about earlier, it's you can't get together, you can't talk to your friends, and obviously we're of a generation where we don't want to talk to people on the phone, because that's weird.
Gross.
Yeah, super gross. So we can't, like, other people don't exist except for via text, and it's weird. It's hard because everyone... For Alec Bailey was a king of fun. So when everyone is posting their memories of Alec Bailey, and they're all these fun memories, and I'm just like, oh my God, I'm so sad. I'm never going to have these memories with Alec anymore. Like, all these good times, and there's also all these bad times. But then, like, I looked at the good times that everyone was posting, and I, like, tried to suppress all these bad memories, and it fucked me up on this time.
Mm.
Because I was, like, misremembering my dear friend, because I tried to only think of the good times. And so then, like, in my head, I was, like, cutting this person who I cared about and loved, like, in half. And so then, like, as I was continuing to grieve, I'm, like, remembering all the bad times. And then it was just bad time memories. Like, I had flooded my brain with all the good ones. And then I was just, like, scooping up heaps of bad memories and putting them in my head. And it was a fucking mess.
So I think the next time you lose a dear friend,
Okay, right. This...
That's not the way to do it. I think to that point, I'm going to talk over you now. Sorry.
That's fine.
I think
that was not my moral there, but that's fine.
Well, I think, listen, don't invite me on your podcast if you don't want it to go this way.
Fair enough. Fair point.
I think that, like, you, I think it's all sort of balled up into the same concept, all the concepts we've been talking about, but it's like you, everyone is essentially eulogizing these people on their social media, and when you're giving a eulogy, you're not going to tell the whole world. I mean, I don't know how many followers you have, but you're not going to tell. I'm not going to tell my four friends all the worst stories. You know, you're going to tell the stories. You're going to tell the story that makes you look the most sympathetic because people want to look that way, which is maybe a rude thing to say about people, but that's true. And you're going to tell the stories that you think are the most compelling, and you're going to tell the story. You're going to tell a story that's like fun and interesting to an audience. You're not going to tell the story about, like, you're not going to tell the story about when your friend got catfished at a bar because it doesn't go anywhere. you're not going to lead with the times that made this person look like an asshole. You know, you're going to tell
very tough for Alec Bailey.
Wow, man. I think when you, to your point, you see all these like positive things, and like, I think a lot of the first thing that everyone posts is not a nuanced, introspective like essay. It's like, oh my god, remember Philadelphia, that was so much fun, rest in power, or whatever it is. And so the first wave of things that you see, or like the first thing that everyone says when you hang out, like you share a story, and it's a positive story, and it's a story that like makes you feel good about your relationship. And then as you get more drunk, or you run out of good stories, like as you contemplate the feelings that you're having, the feeling becomes more complex. But the nature of social media and like how everything like happens now and then it goes away is that people put that immediate thought out into the world, and then that's what the tapestry looks like. It's not nuanced. It's not like you're standing up at a wake and reciting something that you've given a lot of thought to. And I'm not saying that people are posting thoughtless things. I'm just saying that it isn't the full breadth of their relationship. It's a snippet, and that snippet makes you feel like everyone is experiencing a different thing than what you're experiencing, because you're thinking about, am I fucked up because I'm not remembering it this way? And it's just like what you see on social media, and everyone says this all the time, but it's not accurate.
Yeah, grief in the social media realm, just especially in this pandemic. I guess it's another way of expressing how things go at a wake, because no one's getting up at a wake, or at least usually not this last Alec memorial. There was plenty of this, but you know, it was getting up and like telling complicated stories about this figure who we loved and also had, you know, tumultuous times with. You know, so I guess it's just another expression of like us painting a picture of our losses in a rosier setting of what they were, but it doesn't feel genuine. It doesn't feel like authentic, and it's not a healthy way to remember someone. I think, at least it wasn't for me. Like, I feel much better now. I talked to, one of his past relationships was with this woman, Maggie, and I talked to Maggie a bunch, about Alec, and I felt a lot better, partially because like we were dealing with Alec as a full person. So like once I talked to Maggie and like, a couple other friends, Al here and some other folks too, and like started thinking of Alec as a full person, I felt a lot better. And like I could start moving through the grief process, but that's what I had to do. I had to like get away from social media and actually physically talk on the phone, which again was weird and uncomfortable as usual, but you know,
it may never happen again.
it may be necessary. All right. Well, Casey, I'm going to let you have the last word here, because I feel like you should have the last word. You know, I know you were saying earlier that you haven't dealt with too much of this grief, but, you know, do you feel like you're moving through the process? Like, do you feel like, I mean, you could speak for Al too, because this is great, because we only have one microphone for you guys. So you could speak for Al.
Right.
Like, do you think Al is moving through the process? Because, you know, I was stuck there, but I feel like moving is Al.
Yeah, I think, honestly, I think Alec's memorial was helpful.
Oh, okay.
In the way where listening to Alec's sibling talk was, I think, helpful, because they were saying a lot of things that were things that other people were saying too. But I think coming from Alec's family, it resonated with me a little bit more. And I think also talking to Al about my own stuff where I felt I was questioning how I was grieving, and if kind of like earlier to your earlier point, how I felt like I was taking up other people's space to grieve because I didn't know Alec as long as other people did. And once I kind of like sifted through that, I feel like I've started to move along in the process of grieving. But to your point, I think talking about Alec with other people who knew Alec in a similar way that you know Alec, your own experience, and seeing him as a whole person, as you said, I think helps to move things along a little bit more.
All right, let's listen to a tune. Al, do you want to pick a song from Leftover Crack that you think Alec would have liked to listen to? A Leftover Crack tune?
Does he want to listen to
that? No, he does. He doesn't. He wants to listen to a cop-out song, but we can't only play cop-out songs on this podcast.
Well, so. I think that I don't know what, if any, of their catalog he would want to listen to, but Holly reminded me of a memory from our last tour with them last fall. Today on Facebook, she's asking where Sturgeon demanded that Alex sing a song during the set.
This is a good memory. Give more details of this
show. Yeah, I will. So we were getting the set list together, and Sturgeon was like, "You have to sing a song." And he was like, "I don't know the words of that song." Now, bear in mind, the album the song came out on was released in 2001, so that was 20 years ago.
And he's played it literally thousands and thousands of times since then.
And Sturgeon was like, "You're singing this song," and during the set. So then Sturgeon got the bass and Alec took the mic. It was Stop the Insanity, which is my literal favorite Leftover Crack song. When I used to go to their shows, I would fucking lose my shit. Alec did not know a single word to that song. I'm not even convinced he knew the words to the chorus, which is the title of the song. And so Jane Henson, who was filling in for us on drums on that tour, got a video of the first two thirds of that song from the vantage point of my butt, and you can see Alec not knowing any of the words to that song. Being really cool, no, he was like he was moving around a lot. He was like getting loose. I think he might have staged over at one point. Now Holly was saying that it was maybe the first only time he ever sang
it was
on stage in that way. And I was remembering that today. I had another memory where when I was like first starting to play with them, we were singing. We were practicing. I think. Don't Shoot, the song. I can't remember which song it was, but there was one part where the backup vocals, which me, Brad, and Alec would do, it sounded like what they were singing was different than what was on the recording. Like, the background vocals for each of the three verses changed a little bit, and so after practice, I was like, what are you singing during the second verse? Or
I did the
chorus?
Background vocals on that record.
I was like, because it sounded like, I think what I was singing wasn't what you guys were saying. Like, do you do it different than you do in the recording? And he goes, "Listen, it doesn't have to be correct as long as we're all doing the same thing." And I was like, "Okay."
That's what you're asking right now. It's the same thing.
I was like, "Well, I don't know what to do with that information."
That show we did in Philly, that show where Alec was singing, was one of the worst shows I've ever done in my entire life. Like, I remember it being an awful show, right?
That show...
It was a train wreck. I remember someone coming up to me after the show, a friend who was there from Canada, who came down from Canada to see the show.
That was a mistake.
And I don't know why she was there. Anyway.
She should have gone on the show in Buffalo, which is Canada adjacent.
She might have just been visiting Philly for some reason and was there, but she was there at that show. She goes, "That was the worst show I've ever seen in my life. Like, you guys were great," as in Cop Out.
Yeah.
"But
it was good.
Really bad. What happened?" I'm like, "I don't know. I actually really enjoyed the show because, again, you hear the thing about Leftover Crack, even when the show's bad, because it wasn't the worst show I've ever seen in my life, because Columbus, Ohio, I think on that same tour, was actually the worst show I've ever done in my life." But,
yep. There is a small contingency of people on the internet that really enjoyed the Columbus, Ohio show.
It was arguably the worst show, but that Philly show, I think Sturgeon had a really bad voice or something. He like couldn't sing anymore, and it like went out halfway through the set or something like that.
Well, it was the last day before a day off, so I think that, and there was some, there was some fuck shit going on with the van. That was when we still had that white van. I don't know. Something weird was happening.
Five or six vans for like three bands.
Yeah. It was like the last day of the RV. I mean, there's a lot of like emotion. I think people were tired. I don't really know. I'm sort of just excusing everyone's bad behavior. I'm not sure exactly what was going on, but that show was fucking weird and it was not good.
It wasn't. Is that the show where they lost a microphone and Brad maybe tried to get it again? Was that that show?
Was that show?
It was in Philly. I don't remember if it was that tour. They all meshed together. But anyway, my point was Alec Bailey singing this song made it all worthwhile. So, like, people may have gotten a bad show or whatever. Who really cares? It happens, like, part of the magic of a leftover crack show. You never know what you're going to get. But you never get – those people who had that show never will again, obviously. And never have – no one has ever seen Alec Bailey sing a song. So there's a one-off magical moment that you get to fucking lay in bed with every night. So,
oh, one more thing about Alec not knowing what was going on before we cut to before we cut to Stop the Insanity by Leftover Crack. I was trying to figure out what Brad was playing for Operation Move, the like guitar tweedles in the beginning, and one time I asked Alec, I was like, is what you're playing, because I wanted him to show me what he was playing so that I could figure it out. I was like, is what you're playing the same as what Brad's playing? He looks me dead in the eyes. He goes, how would I know that? Like, sure. How would you possibly know that?
Hilarious.
Yeah, 2001, dude. I don't know.
Look, ideas are good.
Ideas are good.
This is Alec Bailey and Leftover Crack.
Get that.
He was horrible. The lone biker of the apocalypse. I didn't know where he came from or why. I don't know if he was a dream or vision. But I feared that I myself had unleashed him.
What's up there, little homie? About ready to do this?
Yeah, man, I'm ready.
What's up?
What's up?
You've been hanging with the homies in the hood for a while now.
It's about time we jump your punk ass in.
That's right. Let me tell you something. In this world, if you can't swim, you bound to drown. Yeah. And if you fall, you better pick your punk ass up.
That's right.
And the rest of y'all, don't cut him no slack.
All right. Well, that is actually all the time we have for today. So we do have a second half of the conversation that we did not get to. So because this conversation spilled over and got a little bit longer than I had expected it to get, we are going to do this episode in two parts. You can go on to dispatchersintheunderground.com. We're going to upload the second half of this conversation about a week after this first half was uploaded. So depending on when you're listening to it, I'm sure the new part is up and ready for you to listen to, where we're going to be talking about what the fuck happened in 2020 and what the fuck is going to happen in 2021. I hope you all appreciated the conversation we had about grief. I know a lot of people there are grieving and it's complicated and people are doing it a lot of different ways. If there are things that you felt we really ignored and missed and you want to talk about them, I would love to hear from you. You can email me at dftunderground@gmail.com, or even better than that is actually to hit me up on social media. You can hit me up on Facebook at Dispatchers from the Underground. Just search for Dispatchers from the Underground on Facebook, or you can hit me up personally on Instagram at Joey Steele NYC. I would love to hear from you. I would love to hear a story about someone you've lost. If you want to share that with someone, I find those stories very difficult to share with people who are close to you because, I don't know, sometimes it just can be complicated to share complicated stories with someone else you care about. So maybe sometimes it's easier to talk to someone who you don't know that well, and I can be that person if you want to. Or please just share it with someone. I think it's been really helpful for me, as we talked about in this conversation, to talk to friends about Alec and about other friends who have passed away in the relatively near future. Some people who were very close, like Alec. I mean, Alec couldn't have been much more close, and some, you know, less close, but still, it really tears me apart to think about them. We lost a homie here in New York City who was an anti-fascist and a good person. His name was Kevin, and while Kevin and I weren't that close, I think Kevin was a great person, and it's a bummer that we didn't get closer, and it's just tough to think about that stuff. And anyway, I hope this conversation has been somewhat helpful. I think the conversation about going into 2021 is going to be helpful too. I want you to tune into that. Al and Casey are going to continue to talk about it on the very next episode, so make sure you continue to listen to Dispatch from the Underground. We are free. Every single episode we have is free, and on our website, dispatchfromtheunderground.com, there's an archive section up there where you can go back and listen to the last 10 years of Dispatch's episodes. Some of them are fantastic. I think the further you go back, the weaker the quality gets. We started out with what we had, and we did what we could. And some of those early episodes aren't as insightful as I think we've come to learn Dispatches needs to be and can be. So I strongly encourage you to go back and find a Dispatches episode that you feel speaks to you. Listen to it. Hopefully it'll uplift you and put you in a good place for heading into 2021. Both feet on the ground and running in a running posture, ready to get some shit done because we have a lot to do. I'm very excited about 2021. I think that there's a lot that can be done. I'm pretty excited. You know, I feel like this has been a dark year, and we've all kind of been on the edge of whether or not we think that things should continue to go forward. And I think those of us who are still here have decided that, you know, that life is worth living and we should fucking barrel ahead and make some shit happen. So I think 2021 is the beginning of us doing that. So I'm pretty optimistic. I'm feeling pretty good about this year to come. So hopefully we'll see. We'll see. Next episode, we're going to be getting neck deep in what is to come. So I want to say thank you to Al and Casey for making the long trek to come over here to do this podcast. We were actually, I know you could probably hear the rain a little bit in the episode, but we were sitting in the cold rain while this was happening, while we were recording this podcast, and it was kind of difficult to do. So I appreciate them putting up with the less than perfect conditions of needing to record this podcast au naturel in nature. And I think the world of these two people. I think they're two of the best people on earth. So I love them very dearly, and I'm happy to consider them very close friends, and really appreciate all of the energy and effort they put into maintaining my horrible friendship and to making this podcast happen and to making my life worth living. So thank you all very much. I want to say thank you also to GFresh, who helps make sure that our website continues to function very smoothly and has been doing that for 10 fucking years. I really appreciate GFresh. I'm sorry that we can't afford to give you any money for all the work that you do to help us maintain this podcast. I also want to say thank you to Lauren, Mark, Gabe, Casey, Nikki, Ian, everybody who donates to Dispatches from the Underground to help keep this podcast at least up and running. This has been a lot hard couple of months to be putting out podcasts with the loss of Alec and just with things being so difficult and money being so tough. And there have been a few people who have been able to find money in their lives and have helped us stay afloat. We don't make any money from this podcast, but we do rely on the support of folks out there who listen to this podcast to donate and to buy merch. So thank you. Thank you, those of you who have been doing it. Thank you, those who contributed and been encouraging to us continuing this podcast. Please, if you do have money and you do appreciate what we do in this podcast, it will always be free and continue to be online as long as we can afford to host it online. But please go to dispatchfromtheunderground.com if you have some income that you could put in there. $5 is cool. It shows me that people care about this podcast, and it means the absolute world to me. So thank you very much if you can do that. If you can't, that's totally understandable. I am in the same situation, and it has been very difficult here in New York City, as I'm sure it is everywhere. So I also want to say thank you to everyone who's sent me messages after the passing of Alec. They have been so supportive and so encouraging. My friend Ashley in the UK and some other homies all around the country and around the world, and who've checked in and just made sure things didn't get too bleak. Obviously everybody here in New York City has been so supportive and encouraging, and folks who just listened to this podcast and just sent me messages talking about Alec and their stories, it has been very nice. So thank you everybody who listens to this podcast and knows how difficult it has been. I genuinely have thought about closing down shop and letting episode 400 be the last episode. Well, here we are. It's 401. So we continued and we're continuing to do this, and it's moving into our 10th year. And I appreciate everybody who's been so supportive of continuing to do this podcast. If you didn't send me those messages and those encouraging words, I don't think I would continue to be doing it. So thank you all very, very much. I cannot say enough how much I appreciate it. I hope you continue to listen. I hope you spread the word. I hope you get out there and continue to be empowering to people around you. Be conscious. Encourage those around you and those you come in contact with to be equally conscious and to push ourselves to be reflective to get to this better world that we know is possible, because it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be pleasant all the time, but we're the only ones who are going to make it happen. So keep your heads up, keep your fists up higher, and we'll see you in the very near future with the rest of this episode. Until then, here's a tune to help hold you over. This is a band that I've had the privilege of playing with a few times. My band Cop Out, my band Skullcaster have both played with this band in Oregon a couple of times in shows hosted by my good friend Jay Crash, who put out that Spotify playlist we mentioned earlier in the podcast. Anyway, this band we have also had the privilege of hosting here in New York City. I think they're fantastic. I hope they're continuing to push through this terrible time in live music, live punk music, and continuing to write and figuring out how to move forward, because I think they're absolutely incredible. And incidentally, Alec Bailey also thought this band was absolutely tremendous. And when Leftover Crack last toured through Oregon, this band opened up for Leftover Crack. And I think they're fantastic. Alec thought they were fantastic, and they have a very bright future ahead of them. This band is called Broken Dead. They're from Eugene, Oregon, I believe, or around Eugene, if not exactly from Eugene. And you're going to love them. So here is Broken Dead. We'll see you next time. Get down.